even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Not only does the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned soul within this material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced learned scholars who factually know the constitutional position of this material world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, I am this material body, aham mameti, and everything in relationship with this material body is mine, he is in illusion, moha. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association with the modes of material nature for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Only those who surrender unto me can overcome the influence of the material energy. Therefore, no one should think of himself as a liberated person immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regulative principles. Thus, he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bharat. Maharaj Bharat was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly toward a small deer, he had to suffer two more births, one as a deer and another as the Brahmana Jad Bharat. Afterward, he was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. The Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee, but if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of illusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namastute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shudnyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we are continuing our discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, entitled Prayers, the Prayers Offered to the Lord by the Residents of Jambudvip. So here, the ruler of Bhadrashvavarsha, known as Bhadrashvava. So Bhadrashva is offering these prayers. To whom? To Lord in the form of Hayashira. Hayashira is also Hayagriv, the Lord, the form of the Lord. So here, this is a very sobering verse where even after practicing devotional service, even after being those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, why do they sometimes face challenges? And why are there accidents even on the royal road, as Srila Prabhupada says? So here, they are praying that this is all your maya. So either we can be sobered by it and be cautious. Another way to look at it is all your arrangement only. You have just orchestrated this nice drama, this leela, and I offer my obeisances to you. This is the way the world will work, and with a slight smile we can also look at the futility and the vulnerability of the jivas. And Krishna has arranged this, and the jivas cannot come out of this easily. So today we'll discuss what is this influence of Maya and why devotion and surrender to the Supreme Absolute Truth as a person, that is the only sure shot way of overcoming the grip of samsara. If you see here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada beautifully says that Bharat Maharaj was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly toward a small deer, he had to suffer two more births. He did not have to take two more births. In Prabhupada's language, taking birth is suffering. So he had to suffer two more births. So I found it very interesting that Srila Prabhupada is, you know, very poetic, as he is also philosophical. And in the previous two shlokas, the devotees are offering obeisances in the second and the third verse also. The ruler, Bhadrashvava, so they are offering their obeisances to the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul. So here it is said that unobstructed happiness is called Brahma Saukhya. So we have a choice either to pursue material happiness, which is tucham, sukham hi tucham, or we have the opportunity to use this temporary, transient material life to achieve Brahma Saukhyam, which Srila Prabhupada calls unobstructed happiness. And in the next shloka 3, Bhadrashva is saying that how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not know that death is approaching, and they are still absorbed in trying to enjoy their material senses. So, what is this Maya? There are two types of Maya. One is Yoga Maya, which covers the eyes of the devotees to enhance Krishna Leela. So, in the pastime where Krishna's sakhas look at Aghasur, they can figure out that he is a snake with his mouth wide open. But still they are happily entering the mouth of Aghasur. Why? Because they were under the influence of Maya to enhance Krishna Leela. Krishna was thinking, how are they doing this? They are under Maya, they are covered. So Srila Prabhupada describes that there are two types of covering of Maya. One is Avaranatmika, covering energy of the Lord. It's like a curtain which keeps us from seeing the reality of this world and the reality of our true nature. Avaranatmika, and the other is Prakshepatmika. So when a soul is trying to struggle out of this ignorance, Maya kicks them back. Go back. That is Prakshepatmika, kicking back into Maya. So Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti, these are the two forms of Maya. So as Srila Prabhupada points out here, that moha or illusion is thinking that I am this body and everything connected to this body is mine. So let's start with understanding this root cause of material existence. What is behind this misidentification? What do you think? Yes? How did we land up in this misidentification? Avidya. At the root of everything is avidya. So the five kleshas are defined. So the first one is avidya, which is the root of all other kleshas or suffering. So the root cause of our suffering in this material world is ignorance of our true nature. So either our spiritual essence is forgotten or it is masked. This is the way avidya works. So having a sense of this, that okay, there I am under the influence of avidya or ignorance of my real self, of the ignorance of the identity of Ishvara and of our interconnectedness. That is called Sambandha Gyan. So what is the antidote to avidya? It's Sambandha Gyan. Prabhupada says, knowledge means knowing what is matter, spirit, and who is the controller of both. This is real knowledge. This is Jnana. Srila Prabhupada doesn't consider the worldly academic knowledge as Jnana. He says that is Shilpa. Shilpa means trade. So engineering is it's not knowledge. It's a trade. So that you can develop a skill to earn a livelihood. But Jnana has to essentially talk of the nature of the soul and nature of God. And the connection between the two. So we have to have a sense of that I am susceptible to avidya. And when we are aware of this, that is the start of our journey towards genuine connectedness to our inner self. So there is a lot of philosophical debate. This verse also talks of those who are self-realized and philosophers and learned sages. Even for them, it's very difficult to overcome the influence of Maya. They know what is Maya. They can see that this material world is transient, temporary, illusory. But again, they sometimes fall prey to it. So Prabhupada says they know it. They also preach about it. So we are not excused from this if we have the awareness and if we are teaching it also. It has to be realized. And how is that realization guaranteed? That is guaranteed only by surrender to Krishna. So next, after avidya, out of ignorance we have a misconception or misidentification which is called asmita. Asmita is us, me. This is me. We are convinced that I am this body, and the pain and pleasures of this body is all that is meaningful to me. When there is a conflict between the benefit of the body and the benefit of the soul, what do we choose? If we choose the benefit of the soul, that is called tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena shuddhena sattva. So, this material human life is meant for tapasya, because we have identified that I am not this material body. Asmita should vanish by sambandha jnana, and that should lead us to pursue a life of tapasya. Why? I know I am the soul, and I am interested in working for the interest of the soul. Swartha gati. What is my swartha gati? If we don't know who we are, where is the question of swartha? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if you know who is the real self, then it is even good to be selfish. Because you will be working towards your real self-interest, which is the interest of the soul. So out of this asmita comes, there will be pains and pleasures, and we'll try to pursue pleasures and avoid pain. That is called raga and dvesha. So raga is everything that we experience in a conditioned existence, like craving, wanting something, even addictions. So that is craving or attachment. So for those who want to cultivate spiritual growth, we have to cultivate everything without an attachment to outcome. So a spiritualist, just yesterday I was discussing Bhagavad Gita with a devotee, that Lord Krishna defines sannyas not as cessation of activity, but as indifference to outcome. This is such a beautiful understanding. Don't be bothered in the externals. Which varnashram are we in? Wherever we are, sthane sthita. The idea is indifference to outcome is what makes you a sannyasi, not those who do no work. So that clarification and realization to dawn upon Arjun took some time. So craving for material possessions, the drive for power, ambition, clinging to feelings, people, situation. Maharaj beautifully explained one time the difference between affection and attachment. Affection is positive. It is when we want to give. Attachment is when our interest is locked in someone and we want to benefit from them. We cannot leave them out of attachment. Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan. He could see Duryodhan is doing everything wrong, but his interest was locked in Duryodhan. That is attachment. So we can be affectionate, but we should be careful of not crossing the line into attachment. Because we generally, in a transactional world, we want relationships which benefit us, either emotionally, materially, physically. So when we give up that expectation of gain from even the relationships, that is even having relationships in detachment. It is not indifference. We are not jnanis or, you know, nihilistic philosophers who will become hard-hearted. We value relationships. We value emotions, because ultimately spiritual emotions are the epitome of human existence. But we do it without attachment. So raga is craving for what is favorable to the senses, and the opposite of that is dvesha, what we push away from. It could be people, situations, things, places. So wherever we experience irritation, danger or anger, those things we try to avoid. So that is the duality of raga and dvesha. So many a times we cannot change the situation. We cannot even change easily our being because of prarabdha karma. We are born with a certain psychophysical nature, so it's not easy to change that. What we can change is through understanding and following Shastra, we can stop following our vasanas and start following scripture. We can go from Swabhavajam Shraddha to Shastriya Shraddha. Let me not do what my Swabhava or my nature is dictating. Let me do what Shastra is directing me to do. That is the only way to overcome our conditioning. And finally, from this attachment, Raga, Dvesha, Abhinivesh, Avidya, all of this leads to Abhinivesh. Abhinivesh basically means clinging to life. More than clinging to life, it translates into fear of death, or fear of loss, or fear of change. How can you live in a transient world without the fear of change? That is the premise of spirituality. If there was no temporariness attached to this world, we would not have actually required any spiritual process. People could continue their material pursuits forever. That is what Hiranyakashipu wanted. After achieving supremacy, the only thing he lacked was eternity. So he asked Brahmaji for a boon to make him eternal, because that was the only thing left for him to pursue. So because we cannot capture time, and this material realm is meant to be temporary, therefore it is embedded in the system to have fear of change. And that is what Arjun also faced in the Bhagavad Gita. My relatives will not be there. So he could not come face to face with that reality of change. And Sri Krishna had to give him a higher perspective. That in this ever-changing jagat, material world, if you attach yourself to the anchor of your spiritual identity, only then you will be peaceful. There is only one anchor or one thing that doesn't change. That is our spiritual identity as the soul. And because we have had a loving experience with Krishna in the spiritual realm, we cannot forget that love and reciprocation that we experience. And when we compare that to any relationship in this world, we always feel it to be lacking, wanting, dissatisfactory. So that is, unless we understand our spiritual nature, and unless we understand that real love can only be achieved in connection to Krishna, till that time we will be under the grip of Abhinivesha and we will not experience true fulfillment. So Srila Prabhupada says we have to be very careful to protect our transcendental position, to know the illusory nature of this material world. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan says, how does a devotee cultivate detachment? When Sri Krishna says, what is the way to overcome lust? Abhyasena and Vairagyena. How do we cultivate Vairagya? When you can see the fault of sense objects. So everything beautifully in our Vaishnav Siddhanta has a concept, a basis, an explanation. Like Samadarshita, Samata, we talk of it, but you cannot just try and cultivate these qualities. They are manifested after we achieve the state of Atma Sakshatkar. It's like a medal for those who have reached that platform. Similarly, how do we cultivate detachment from this material world, the sense objects? So Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan says, we have to look at the fault of the sense objects. And there are two types of faults in the sense objects. What are the two faults? Temporary, that we are discussing. And second? Yeah. It is also Dukkha Yoni. So it is a wrapper of happiness, but inside it's only suffering. So by performing our devotional service, by performing our spiritual sadhana, we can get the ability to see the fault of sense objects. Because without seeing something as faulty, why will you not pursue it? So that has to come. We have to see that it is temporary and it is actually covered misery. So that, again, it's very easy to say. But that's the journey that we have to take. So we have to be very cautious, and Srila Prabhupada says, follow the principles of devotional service very rigidly. Why rigidly? We are not fanatics. Srila Prabhupada's beautiful story, when a disciple saw Srila Prabhupada praying to Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyam Sundar, and Prabhupada was praying very feelingly, and then the disciple asked, what did you pray, Srila Prabhupada? So Srila Prabhupada said, I prayed to the lordships that I may never fall prey to Maya. So the disciple said, Prabhupada, you are Mahabhagavat. He said, I am teaching you this, that however expert you might be, never think that you cannot be tricked by Maya. So that is the disposition of a devotee. Bhakti is powerful, but we also have to give due weightage to the power of Maya. We cannot be reckless. Because here, as Srila Prabhupada says, if we do that, then there is chaos. It's a razor's, you are walking on a razor's edge. One slip and there will be blood. So that excellent story of Bharat Maharaj has been explained. He didn't do any major sin. He deviated, he got distracted from his sadhana. And that led to suffering two more births. So we have to pursue what is anukul, not what is enjoyable. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. So it is a science, it is not a sentiment. We have to be cautious. What are the principles of devotional service? We should not get carried away by sentiments. We have to stay fixed to the science. If this is pratikul, I'll not do it. If it is anukul, I will do it. We cannot be lax. Because everything that we are doing as a sadhaka is based on shastra. Yas shastra vriddhim utsrijya. Anyone who gives up the regulations of scripture and does things according to their own whims, they can never attain perfection or happiness. So, vaidhi bhakti, or the process of following rules and regulations, is what is very important at our stage. And it's a journey. When we develop love for Krishna, so like, how does a person go from Mishra Bhakti to Shuddha Bhakti? Because of practicing the limbs of Bhakti, they develop such loving feelings towards Krishna that they start giving their Varnashram duties only secondary importance. So only by obtaining a higher relish can we give up lower attachments. That is how a Mishra Bhakt moves into a Shuddha Bhakt. Similarly, we have to rise from understanding and following what is anukul for us. And now we will look at the personal nature of Krishna. Why cannot we overcome Maya simply by jnana? So it is conclusively presented, if you want to study it in detail, in the episode of Ajamil, of how karma, then jnana, vimarshanam, and then keval bhakti, the effects of these three processes are clearly explained by Shukdev Goswami. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dhunvanti karsnena niharas iva bhaskaram. Only practice of pure devotional service can help us completely cleanse not only the reaction to karma, to sin, not only the proclivity to sin, but also avidya. That cannot be done by jnana or vimarshanam. That can definitely not be done by karma. So, that is the personal promise of the Lord. And that is where Sri Krishna takes a personal mood in the Bhagavad Gita. It is not just a philosophical reading. It's a personal promise. We will see how. So, Lord Krishna says, Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashrita. So, ultimately, surrender will save us. Surrender will guarantee us immunity from Maya. That is the last theme we will discuss. So, mam upashritaha. Not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga. Mam upashrita. Being fully situated in me. Mat maya. So, being fully absorbed in me, taking refuge in me. So, surrender, sharanagati, prapatti is shown as the sure shot way of protection. By that, we will overcome fear, anger, and attachment. And those who don't have faith in devotional service, Lord Krishna says in the 9th chapter, Ashraddha dhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. So they might be scholars, philosophers, learned sages, but if they don't have faith in surrendering to Krishna, they will return to the path of birth and death. Exactly what this shloka is also pointing to. So we have to keep faith in Krishna. Pandavas, after so much trials and tribulations, they did not give up faith in Krishna. The Brajvasis did not give up faith in Krishna. Oh, these demons are coming for Krishna. Let us, you know, leave Krishna. Then our lives will be peaceful. The Pandavas, the Brajvasis kept Krishna as the center of their lives. In irrespective of what trials, tribulations and suffering that brings. In fact, Kunti Devi prays that, forget these obstacles. I would pray for these obstacles to come again and again, because that's how we get your darshan. So, the mental disposition of a devotee is, whatever situation is coming, I should tolerate that in the spirit of tattenukampa susumikshamano. Surrender to Krishna, faith in Krishna, and tolerating the material challenges. This is what will save us from entanglement in Maya. So we have to be very careful and confident in devotional service. But we also have to be very cautious. That's why they say, because this is the best path. But still, like Srila Prabhupada writes, there are accidents even on the royal road. And it is not easy, honestly, to develop such amount of surrender and faith. Lord Krishna himself acknowledges that in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevam sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlava. It is not easy to understand and reach the level of surrendering to Krishna. Such a rare soul who surrenders is a mahatma. And even jnanis take a lot of births to reach that platform of surrender. But Shri Krishna promises, if you are able to do that, I will protect you. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. That if you are able to worship me with exclusive devotion and surrender unto me, meditate on my transcendental form, acceptance of a personal form, and surrender to that personal absolute truth. In that case, Lord is promising, I will carry what you lack, and I will preserve what you have. So this is a personal promise by Krishna. It is not just the rules of philosophy. It is not a system, a framework, or a policy. Krishna is making it personal, that if you surrender, I will protect you. And also we see this in 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita again. Tesham aham samudhartha. I will personally deliver them from the ocean of birth and death. Mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha mai aveshita chetasam. So here, this is a sobering verse we are discussing, but we have to also balance it with a hopeful promise of Krishna. Yes, it is difficult, it is almost impossible, but if we follow the instructions of Krishna, it is not by our doing or by our ability, but it is by Krishna's grace that we will be able to overcome. So that's the difference between the yogic path and the devotional path. We are not trying to conquer Maya. We are trying to surrender to the Mayi, the owner of Maya. And by that, when we attract the grace of the owner of Maya, for them, it's so easy. Like, Krishna says, Daivi eshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Maam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So this energy is, it is my energy and it is my divine energy. If you surrender unto me, then alone you can cross over this maya. So, normally this maya, which is composed of gunas, maya is called gunamayi. It is comprising of the three gunas, and like Srila Prabhupada writes here, we have had a long association with the gunas. Anadi karma phale. Yes, we are practicing bhakti for a few years, but compare that to our endless lifetimes of sojourn into material enjoyment. So those vasanas, that association with the gunas can any time overwhelm us and bring us under the influence of maya again. So why does Krishna say Daivi? Daivi means astonishing, extraordinary. That is what we are seeing in the shloka, that don't take it lightly. This is Krishna's extraordinary maya. Maya is called astonishing because it is an instrument in the creation of this astonishing, variegatedness, countless universes. Maya is an instrument in this astonishing creation. Therefore, it is called astonishing. So, Maya or Prakriti, one should know Prakriti and its master. Shvetashvatara Upanishad says, Mayam tu Prakritim Vidyan Mayinam tu Maheshwaram. You should know what Maya is and you should know who is Maheshwaram, the controller of Maya. Then we can overcome the bondage of material existence. It can be destroyed only by devotion to Krishna. Because we know that Shri Krishna is the Lord of Maya. And this is captured in the beautiful verse. Of course, another thing we can see in this verse, Daivi Yeshu Gunamai. Why is this Maya called Daivi? The word Daivi comes from the word Deva. Deva, what is the characteristics of Devas? Those who are on the Swargalokas. They are inclined to enjoyment. That's the connotation of the word Deva. Deva means those who sport with sense enjoyment. So it refers to the Jivas. Jivas have this enjoyer mentality. I want to sport with material sense enjoyment. So Daivi means that which bewilders the Jiva. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of the word Daivi is exactly what this shloka is also talking of. Its power, its potency is to bewilder not only the conditioned souls but also the liberated souls who have not only understood but they have factually experienced. It says, Pashyanti cha adhyatmano vidu. They have seen it. For us, do you know that material world is a place of suffering? We have heard it. For us it is which type of jnana? Shabda praman. But these realized soul, for them it is not shabda, it is their realization. For them it is pratyaksha. Even after that they are susceptible to its influence. So beautifully we have to understand that only by devotion and surrender to Krishna can we overcome this influence of this ocean of Maya. Samashrita ye padapallavaplavam mahatpada punya yasho murarehe bhavam budhirvatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. So yes, this material world is padam padam yad vipadam natesham. But samashritaha, again, shelter, surrender. Surrender is not, we don't have to be fearful of surrendering. Surrender is not a loss. Surrender is when we give up our limited ability and we connect to Krishna's infinite ability. So when we have Krishna's power on our side, the excellent story of Duryodhan and Arjuna. Duryodhan wanted the armies of Krishna and Arjuna wanted the company of Krishna. So that is the intelligence of a devotee, that by surrendering to Krishna, a devotee attracts Krishna's grace and all of Krishna's energies help him in his or her spiritual journey. Then what happens? Bhavam Budhir, the bhava, the samsara sagara, which is an infinite ocean, it gets reduced to vatsapadam, into water contained in a hoof print of a cap. And then it's so easy to cross over. So that is the spirit in which Vaishnava Siddhanta teaches us to overcome Maya. Not by jnana, analyzing every attachment and cutting it through jnana, or not by stilling the mind, not by some philosophy of cessation, of discovering our no self. There is nothing as no self. I'm hinting at Buddhist philosophy because I've had a 2-hour discussion with someone a few days back. It's so difficult, it's impractical. It's good intellectual exercise, but when it comes to following and resisting the temptations of this world, like Shankaracharya says, this jugglery is not going to help you actually. So we have to ultimately bhaja govindam mudamate. So personally, he was also a personalist, Srila Prabhupada says. Without that personal devotion, it's very difficult to fight this influence of the material energy. So these were some thoughts on this beautiful shloka, the prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mohan Vilas Prabhu. In one sense, there should not be any questions because your class is very clear about how we should overcome the influence of illusory energy. But this last paragraph in the purport, the Lord's leniency has been mentioned. And someone purposefully commits mistakes, that means he is in knowledge. He will be punished.
Correct.
By pushing him deeper down into the illusory energy.
Right.
A little scary. Taking advantage of the lenience. And he deserves to be punished. I'm talking about people who are addicted. Now when you're addicted, you are completely under the power of something which you are helpless. There is no question about any knowledge, preaching. So now the Lord says, those who again and again commit the same mistake, I punish them. But here there is no scope for rectification, one sense, because you are addicted. So how is the Lord merciful to them? Because only thing what you can see in the future is more suffering.
Right. Yeah, sure, Prabhu. So in this context, the context of this verse, when Srila Prabhupada says, if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again. So this is applying to those who are liberated souls. They are not normal conditioned souls. They are logicians, philosophers and self-realized people. So like we said, where there is more responsibility, there is also more expectation. So they should have known better. That is the point. And if they commit mistake, they will not be excused. So in fact, the answer to your question, Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports a few shlokas before, that it is not that Lord wants us to commit sinful activity. But if a jiva persists, I'll read it out for you. The Supreme Lord, this is the verse preceding this, shloka 3. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? That means also, why is He not merciful to the addicts? The Supreme Lord does not want any living being to act sinfully. It is not His desire. and he begs him through his good conscience to refrain. So how does Lord help the jiva in saving themselves from that trap of addiction? By giving everyone a good conscience. After becoming an addict, we cannot play a victim card. It is a culmination of our choices, ignoring our good conscience, which has led us to this deplorable state of being an addict. So, an addict, what is an addict? Basically, they theoretically have willpower, but they have lost all degrees of freedom of willpower. They want to control it, but they cannot because they are so habituated. So their good conscience refrains us from sin. And then Srila Prabhupada says, when someone insists upon acting sinfully, how will one become an addict? By repeating sin again and again against the good conscience, against the advice of others. So that persistence, the soul is persisting to be sinful. Then what does the Lord do? The Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to act at his own risk. So the Lord will give the permission, but the risk is of the jiva. So the desire is always of the jiva. So we cannot, no one can do anything without the sanction of the Lord. But he is so kind that when the conditioned soul persists in doing something, the Lord permits the individual soul to act on his own risk. So his kindness is to give us free will. It's good to think that why does the Lord not stop? But then that would mean overruling our free will. That would be more a greater violence than giving free will. So yeah, today we are feeling, why did not Lord save somebody from reaching that difficult situation? Because Lord did not want to interfere in their free will. He guides in form of Paramatma as Chaitya Guru, as good conscience, don't do it. But when we keep repeating and reach that situation of addict, it's just a consequence of our action. Now there are two choices to us when we are in such a situation. Either we consider ourselves a victim of addiction or abuse and we feel helpless and we blame others, that is tamoguna. Or we can rework it, thinking, how did I land up here? By my choices, by my decision, by a series of wrong decisions. What does that mean? It might feel difficult to accept responsibility, but in that also lies empowerment. How? And because my doing led me here, it means I have the steering to get out of this also. If I change my behavior, I can get myself out of this. So karma is not to shame or guilt anyone. Karma is to empower the jiva. That you came here because of your wrongdoing, that also means that you have the power to get out of this by the right actions. So that is the hope in understanding karma in the right sense. Does that answer your question completely? I think there's some...
We do have people coming here for sometimes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So this thought came to me. They are
sure.
In a spiritually surcharged place. But they expect that there will be a very easy way of, you know. That's what they expect. But
correct.
It's very difficult to penetrate that.
Yeah.
Such a forceful thing. You're totally helpless.
Right.
So how is the Lord showing His mercy to these, even though they are right there? So I just thought,
sure.
You said the conscience somewhere realized that they are responsible.
Correct. First step is
not to be a victim, thinking, I'm helpless.
First step is to have acceptance and take responsibility. Yeah. Then we can overcome it. So yes, I understand your pain in that why are we not able to help everyone? So this compassion, this prayerful mood of a devotee is what attracts Krishna's mercy. So Advaita Acharya prayed out of this mood that what will happen of these conditioned souls. So we can, like we surrender to Krishna because we ourselves don't have the capacity to overcome Maya. Similarly, we pray to Krishna to help the conditioned souls. And we What do we become? We become an instrument of compassion. It is very difficult for a conditioned jiva themselves to show compassion. So we have to pray to Krishna to shower his compassion on those people, and we could become instruments of that compassion. So the answer lies in prayer only. I understand the helplessness that you feel, I share that also. But it's not easy, because a jiva is struggling with their vasanas and swabhava, which is very strong. So the intervention of a pure devotee can crack that whole shell of vasanas. Without that, there is no hope. So we can bring them in the sannidhya of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of a pure devotee, and then Krishna magic can happen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.